website. Believe everything you hear. Kerry's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kerry's.ie. Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Very welcome along to the Big Red Bench. Coming up tonight, disappointment for Ballincollig.
Very disappointed. The players gave it everything. We just ran out at the end, and unfortunately, we lost a few points.
We have an in-depth interview with Munster champions Milford.
I think there's actually a pressure in the fact that, you know, like, we're there to be knocked. I mean, we're champions, and we're there to be taken off the pedestal, and like, that's what everyone wants to do now. So like, we were expecting that. So we don't go out as champions, you go out to play a game and hopefully come up with a win.
We'll also talk to Valley Rovers and Moran Abbey on the show tonight, and we'll discuss Ireland's win over Georgia in the November International.
A tough start to the game today, which we kind of expected within the group, possibly outside the group. People didn't know that would happen, but I thought we stuck to the task well, and at times we played some very good stuff, and in the end we came through.
All that and much more over the next hour. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Rory and Lisa here with you until 7pm. If you'd like to get in touch, text 0868 104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Going to get reaction from Ballincollig very shortly. First though, Lisa's going to round up today's action.
Well, starting with the Gaelic games, Ballincollig 3-point defeat to Austin Stacks at Kerry. Stacks going on now to play the Nara of Waterford after they beat last year's beaten finalist Cracklow of Clare by 113-28 in another game that went to extra time. Valley Rovers, the Intermediate Club Championship, they can look forward to a Munster final. They've beaten the Pearshick of Limerick 111-18. The Moran Abbey ladies continuing their fantastic run. They have an All-Ireland final to look forward to after beating Mount Mellick Sarsfields this afternoon, 114-15. In handball news, Bally Desmond's Katrina Casey has claimed the national handball title, beating Antrim's Aisling Riley 21-5, 21-10 today, while Mallow's Killian Carl has beaten defending champion Dermot Nash in the men's open final that finished 21-18, 21-15. In rugby, Ireland have made it 2 wins from 2 in the Guinness series. 6 second half tries, including 2 for Munster's Felix Jones, helped Ireland to a 49-7 win over Georgia at the Aviva, and Munster's Dave Foley was named man of the match. In soccer, Roy Keane has backed the Ireland players to bounce back from Friday's defeat to Scotland. The squad had a day off today. It's half time in 4 matches in Euro 2016 qualification in Group A. The Netherlands are beating Latvia 3-0. It's still scoreless as Belgium hosts Wales in Group B. The other Group B game at the moment sees Cyprus lead Andorra 3-0, and Norway are leading Azerbaijan 1-0 in Group H. Locally then, UCD Waves heaped a 7-2 defeat on Cork City Women today. Eimear Gilroy and Shannon Carson with the City goals. In golf, Rory McIlroy has won the Race to Dubai title for the second time in 3 years, and all without playing this weekend. American Brooks Koepka won the Turkish Airlines Open today with a flawless 65, finishing on 17 under par. In tennis, Roger Federer has withdrawn from the final of the ATP World Tour Finals in London. The Swiss was due to face world number one Novak Djokovic, but has claimed he's not match fit and not willing to risk playing tonight. Federer has been suffering with a back injury. In basketball results today, Team Montanati Hotel took victory in their Women's National Cup quarterfinal first leg derby against Singleton's Super Value Brunel this afternoon, 81-55, the full-time score at the Parochial Hall. And in racing circles, tributes are being paid this evening to trainer Desi Hughes, who's passed away at the age of 71 during his successful career as a jockey. Hughes rode Davy Ladd to victory in the 1977 Cheltenham Gold Cup and came back 2 years later to claim the champion hurdle aboard Monksfield. His biggest success as a trainer came with Hardy Eustace, who won back-to-back champion hurdles in 2004 and 2005. And finally, on the course today, there was racing in Cork. The last race there, the 410, won by number 4 Rio Treasure at odds of 4-1, while Hurricane Fly defied expectation by beating Jeski in the hurdle at Punchestown today.
Thank you, Lisa. We're going to start with Gaelic games, and a mixed day for Cork sides today in the Munster and All-Ireland Championships. We'll start with the bad news, defeat for Ballincollig in the Munster Championship semi-final against Austin Stacks. We'll get the reaction first of Ballincollig boss Michael O'Brien.
I know, very disappointed. The players gave it everything. We just ran out at the end, and unfortunately we lost by a few points.
You say that you gave it everything and the lads worked till the very end. Do you think it came down to the bodies?
I did, yeah. There wasn't anything after the game. There was just nothing left in the tank. Look, throughout the whole year, the players just gave. It was just a super commitment, and they have a super attitude. And look, they left everything on the pitch. It wasn't me today, unfortunately.
No, I'm going to extra time. A superb point, very well taken by John Miskell, and you know the assist from Pat Kelly was excellent to force it to extra time.
Although it was, we did dig deep there in the last few minutes. We had a bit of ball at that time and made one or two probably kind of silly decision making. But you know, Paddy and John Miscliffe are very cute, so they were able to set up a score, and it was a great score from distance from John to give us another opportunity to see how into extra time.
In the immediate aftermath, do you have any regrets from the sideline point of view?
I suppose, look, you'll always have a few regrets, maybe, but maybe we should have pressurised them more in the middle of the field when they had the ball in that period when we did go a few points up. But you know, look, hindsight, you'll always have regrets when you lose. Mm.
It's still very soon after the match, Michael, but you know, a great experience for the club today after your first championship success here in Cork, and overall a fantastic year.
Overall, it has been a fantastic year, winning the county final for the first time in our history. I suppose at the moment we're still disappointed because we travelled three today, looking to win the game and wanting to win the game so bad, but look, it just wasn't to be. And the support that we got from our supporters in Ballincollig, they've been phenomenal all year for us, and they were just phenomenal today, travelling in their thousands to support these bunch of players. I know all the players and management are very grateful for all the support.
Very good. Michael, look, at commiserations on today's result. As I said, a fantastic year to the Cork Championship victory, but our commiserations on today's result.
Oh, thanks for your
Cheers. That's Ballincollig manager Michael O'Brien speaking to Lisa after their defeat today to Austin Stacks in the semi-final. Peter McNamara of Cork's Evening Echo has given Lisa his analysis of the game.
Well, I suppose from a Lisa's perspective, Lisa, it's very disappointing that the colleague didn't progress. Look, they started like a house on fire after the 21st minute. They were 1-4 to a point ahead. You'd like to see Keane Kiley on the score sheet, Pat Kelly with a goal, John Kelly with a point, and Keane Dargan with a point. And all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking there's a potential victory on the cards here for the away side. But unfortunately, Austin Stacks hit back with 5 unanswered points to bring it 1-4 to 6 points at half time. They really brought them back into the game. And interestingly, after the 21st minute until the end of extra time, Ballincollig were outscored 14 points to 5. It was 12 points to 3. They were outscored at the end of the first half of extra time, a period in which they failed to score. So, you know, John Miskell got the equalising point for them. It looked like it was game over for them, even in regulation time. But Miskell popped up with an amazing point in the 62nd minute. But then they didn't add to that, unfortunately, until the 14th minute of extra time. Again, Miskell on the score sheet. And Keane Dargan pointed a 45 2 minutes later, which left the 14 points to 1-9. And you were thinking, maybe, just maybe, with four and a bit minutes to go, they might turn it around. But unfortunately, Wayne Guthrie had a free, a 45 to drop short. Ballincollig came out with the ball, hoping to build another attack to maybe reduce the deficit again, but lost possession. And it was kind of symptomatic of the way they were playing throughout the second half, and even in the final 10 minutes of the first half. You know, because uncharacteristically, they made a lot of sloppy mistakes in possession, and they were coughing up possession. There were a lot of turnovers, and there was a lot of tired bodies, of course, towards the end. And in that moment, just when they lost the ball after Guthrie's 45 drop short, they gave away the ball, and Darragh Looney pointed a free. So it was 15 points to 1-9, and unfortunately it finished that way. And of course, thus meaning that Ballincollig exited the championship. But, you know, as I said, like, after 21 minutes, it looked like there was only one team in it, but Austin Stacks, Kerry champions, kind of rejigged a few things. They brought Donaghy more out to midfield. Absolutely, and he made a ferocious difference, I have to say. You know, he got on the ball and amount of times, and I think a lot of the background, the basketball background of the Austin Stacks team really came to the fore, because they recycled possession quite well throughout the middle third and during the entire game, really, after that initial period whereby they looked like they were struggling. And to be fair, the likes of Greg Horn got on the score sheet, Darren Long, who I mentioned, came on and got a couple of important scores. They had a lot of guys made a difference on the bench as well. And I think that, for whatever reason, the legs went to Ballincollig towards the end. It's always difficult when you're chasing the game as well, that, you know, that they couldn't really get level and at a key stage. The only time they got level was the most crucial time, but, you know, prior to that they were chasing the game, and they tired significantly in the second half of extra time, which is unfortunate, because, you know, they weren't really out of the game as such, in that they weren't totally outplayed. But I just think that Austin Stacks were just slightly craftier in possession when they had it, and used it just a bit more wisely, you know.
We found, we commented on it in the final minutes of the 60 minutes, that Ballincollig were still very composed, and the game wasn't being played like a match that was just a point in it, you know, in the final stages of a match. It was, there was a strange composure to both sides at the end of the 60 minutes.
Yeah, there was actually, but unfortunately prior to those closing minutes, if Ballincollig had shown such composure in possession, I don't think they would have been in such a, yeah, a difficult predicament in the first place, you know. And you are right, in fairness to them, in the additional minutes of regulation time, you know, like Pat Kelly got on the ball all too infrequently, unfortunately, in the second half for Ballincollig. But when he did, and the likes of Miskela dropping out as well, from, of course, he was named a 15 but never played an actual corner forward role, really.
Yeah.
Just out, you know, a lot of possession, stuff like that. But, yeah, no, in fairness, they did quite well to get the leveling score. But I suppose, in saying that, there was only one point in it, technically, the whole way through during those closing minutes. And I suppose, when they look back in Ruder, inability to convert more possession into scores, possibly. Mm. But in fairness, you'd have to say that if you take everything into context, that they were deservedly beaten in the end, even though, you know, I suppose they might argue that point. But to be fair to them, I just felt that Austin Stacks were slightly craftier on the ball. Now, in saying that, you know, they could have one or two opportunities, but just for me, I just felt that even with Donahue, even outside of Donahue, they had a couple of other guys, or like even the full back there, the Kerry under 21, Fergal McNamara, was quite good and quite assured when things came his way as well. And then, you know, I felt that Dawson Stacks were pushing up and their men and really putting Ballincollig under a lot of pressure. And you know, I could just feel they supported the man in possession just slightly better than Ballincollig did, unfortunately, you know.
Mm. I just want to talk about the equalising point, because it was a thing of, it just showed the experience in Ballincollig to force it to extra time. You had Pat Kelly going on an attack, and yeah, there was an option on his right, but he decided to track back a little bit and then found John Miskela, and John Miskela's kick was just brilliant. The distance he made with the direction, and just very, very well taken.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I took a lot of bottle from Johnny Miskela to kick that score. It was an awkward enough angle as which to kick it to, because sometimes when you're directly in front of the goal and there's a bit of pressure on the right-footed kicker, it can't, you know, sometimes it's not particularly easy to do that. And you're right, Pad dropped out and got on the ball, but it was unfortunate, Ballincollig, that he just didn't get enough possession in the second half. Like, it's no surprise that when Pad and Johnny and the lads were in a lot of possession in the first 20 minutes of the match, that they were flying. But those avenues dried up for them when Donahue drifted out the field, and you know, I suppose Donahue's experience was key in that regard as well. But sticking to that final score, that was a massive score, and I just felt actually at that point, is that, you know what, they might just kick on. But I think the key to that was the fact that just in the first 2 minutes of the start of extra time, with Darragh Long pointed a free for Austin Stacks, and Pat McCarthy pointed on another score from play. So that made it 12 points to 1-7. And the fact that, of course, actually 2 minutes after that as well, Greg Horan had a point disallowed. And as at the time, Austin Stacks had 16 players in the field, so that was deemed illegal. So that point was taken off. But again, that David Mannix put that 13 point on the board sometime after that. So the fact that Ballincollig could not kick on after the motivational boost that Miskela provided at the end of regulation time was disappointing, really, from their own point of view. The fact that they didn't score the first half of extra time, that really cost them. There's no question about that. And it was always the case of putting out fires after that, which they couldn't do again, unfortunately, you know.
And look at, as you say, Peter, they were beaten by the better football team today, I think. You know, looking at the bigger picture, Austin Stacks fully deserving of the win. A 2-point lead in the added time looked like a big lead in a game like this. But Ballincollig battled, and they represented Cork very well today after claiming their first senior success just a number of weeks ago.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, look, you have to put this into context. I mean, Ballincollig went into this game. It's their first ever time in the Munster Club Championship. And as you would appreciate as well, Lisa, you know, your GA herself, they play in the Munster Club Championship, be it football or hurling. These games tend to be more like chess matches, more tactically orientated than even anything you find in your county championship. So you're coming up against sides you would never have seen before, and that makes a big difference, because even though you can prepare all you want and look into their strengths and weaknesses, until you actually play a team like that and have some sort of past with them, you can't really, you don't really know where their chinks are. And certainly, even though they started like an express train, it was just, I just felt that when he went out to the middle of the park, I know I kept going on about him, but I really thought he was brilliant again today. I have to say, he just recycled out of possession, used it wisely, calmed down people around him as well. You know, when things are going wrong, you need leaders to step up, and he brought that to the table for Austin Stacks. Unfortunately, it was just a case of not being able to get Pat on the ball enough for Ballincollig. But look, as you said, they won an amazing county championship. They upset the odds the whole way through. They represent the Leaside today brilliantly, as far as did last week. And unfortunately, both teams now didn't progress. But look, yeah, it's ironic that both sides went to extra time and away ties, and there's no shame in that, because it's very difficult to go to a venue across the county bounds, particularly in Kerry. There was a huge crowd in Austin Stacks Park today. It was an amazing spectacle, actually, I have to say. And look, the underfoot conditions are very heavy this time of the year, and that doesn't help. But to be fair to them, they were excellent. Ballincollig have been brilliant all season, and Michael O'Brien and the lads deserve a lot of credit. Unfortunately, it's just today, it wasn't their day, simply because they just couldn't retain possession at key stages, unfortunately, and recycled or turned over the ball just a one too many times, I think, in the second half, particularly, and again in the first half of extra time, where they were kind of surrounded and swarmed by just the Stacks players, you know.
Mm. It's Stacks who march on the end of the year for Ballincollig. Peter McNamara of the Cork's Evening Echo, thank you very much for your analysis this evening.
Cheers, Lisa. Thank you.
Disappointment so far, Ballincollig today. Take nothing away from the effort that they put in from today's game, especially the draw level, as at least I was mentioning there, without a superb miscale point right at the end, about 50 yards out, I'd say, at least, was it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Really, really, really well taken. And I, like the two of us, our reaction to it, it was just brilliant. Like,
well, you were watching it on TV, and I was watching it on tgcahar.ie, which is about 10 seconds behind. So you cheered, and then 10 seconds later, I went, oh yeah,
hey. Yeah, I was kind of like, he's going to enjoy this. Because I had almost ruined it for you, I was like, it'll be interesting to see just how well he reacts. But that's how good it was. You still had a reaction, like you didn't know what was coming.
Yeah, it was
class.
Incredible. And commiserations to Ballincollig. Still a fantastic year for them, though, to take nothing away from them. Absolutely fantastic. All right, Valley Rovers marching on to a Munster Intermediate Club Championship final. They beat Naoimhearshach of Limerick in their back garden as well at the Gaelic Grounds. 111-108 was how it finished. Valley Rovers manager is Gerard Sline speaking to Lisa.
Yes, Lisa, thank you very much. A good win, tough battle. Glad to get out of it with a 3-point win. We could have won by more, but we could easily have got a much tighter game. You know, typical November football, tough side, even though, you know, it wasn't overly wet, but we made a right battle down here in the Piercy. Fine side, you could see why they won the county championship down here. They really put it up to us, and we're glad to get out here with a win.
Good. Talk us through the game, Ger, from your point of view. I mean, 11 minutes in, you were 5 points up, an early goal from Gary Farrell, I believe.
Yeah, we got a great start, got a point very early in the time. We got a great goal from Gary. He showed great composure in front of goal and took a sidestep around the goalkeeper to roll it into the net. I looked initially for me that he had taken too much out of it, but yeah, he knew what he was doing, and he finished it well. Yeah, we got a couple of other scores. It looked at that stage that we were, you know, coasting, but no, it's not that's not the way it works, Lisa. It's not that easy, and sure enough, Naoimhearshach came roaring back into it and kicked a couple of great scores. Some very good forwards, very quick guys, good guys to shoot, were very good in midfield, very mobile, and all of a sudden they were back in it. We made a mistake in an attacking position with the ball. We gave the ball away in a hand-passing situation, and they broke down, and from resulting three in our half, they kicked a great goal, first goal we conceded in championship all season. And, you know, all of a sudden it was right back in the melting pot. It was 1-4 apiece and everybody's game. Now, we went in at half-time, a point to the good, but at the same time it was just touch and go, and we were glad to get to the short whistle, a point ahead.
And then, I mean, what was said at half-time? Because would you say it was going to plan at that stage in terms of the preparation you'd done for this sort of football at this time of year?
Yeah, everything had gone okay for us, even though we lost the cornerback in the first 10 minutes, I suppose, with an injury, and it didn't unsettle the side. We had to bring a sub in that early. We hadn't planned on that, but the sub in, Murphy, came in and settled down very well. Things had gone enough to plan, you know, the guys were playing okay, the pitch was okay. But we knew that the Piercy were going to put it up to us, and they really did. They were one of the better sides we'd met all season, and I really thought it was going to go down to the wire. They were really up for it, and they had a bit of home support. They were kicking good points. They seemed to be in form, and they just felt it was going to go right to the wire here, you know.
Good stuff.
Which we kind of said this. We said this at halftime, that you know we're in a battle here. We're in their own backyard. They have plenty of support. They're fired up. They can see. They can see a victory here. That we've really got to lift it by 5% in the second half and start working that little bit harder if we want to get out of jail.
And I mean, you maintained that slight advantage through the second half before you pulled away for the 3-point win. Was composure good from your side?
Yeah, the composure was good, Lisa. You know, we've had a lot of battles this year. We've had some great games in the league, and tough games as well. And you know, I keep saying you can't buy experience; you've got to earn it. And these guys have done that all year. Even though a lot of them very young guys, they've played in really tough matches. We played a league final against Clyde Rovers, where we were down to the wire, and we had a couple of championship games that went really close. And it stood to them today. They just kept battling away and worked the ball all the time and tried to get guys into a good position, and we've just got the scores at the right time, you know.
Good. And you mentioned your cornerback going off, injuries out of the game, so Ger?
I wouldn't say huge injuries. We also had Faker Lynch was also carrying a little knock, and only niggling injuries. I mean, please God, a fortnight's time these guys will be fine again. But I keep talking about the strength and depth of our panel, that you know, some guy goes off, it doesn't really diminish the team. These guys come in and they step up to the mark and just fill any gaps, and there's no issue there, you know.
And did you use your full complement of subs today? Did you use five, or what did you use?
Again today, as I said to you last week, we use our subs all the time, and again we use five, and I think we actually use six. We definitely use five, we may have used six, and we do it all the time. Two of the guys that came in kick points, we brought two defenders in, we brought a midfielder in, and you know, they seem to do it all the time, so we didn't change our consistency today.
Good stuff. And it's Ardfert of Kerry now on the 30th in 2 weeks' time.
I believe so. They had a big victory today against Bricky Rangers down in Garvin. Heard, got no feedback, just got the score. But, I think that was expected as well. But yeah, it's a huge challenge again for us. We know that they're a quality team. Winning an intermediate championship in Kerry, you can't be a bad team. So we're going to have to lift it again, and we'll give it our best shot. We're looking forward to it, and we'll do our best on the day. It's 15 strangers against 15 strangers over 60 minutes, and whoever was the business on the day, we hope to show up there well and represent the county well.
In case anyone didn't hear that result, a 113-7 point win for Ardfert today. And I mean, Ger, at the final whistle today, what was the reaction of your side, your players? Was it measured, or you know, did it mean a lot?
It meant a lot, Lisa, because in 2009 the guys got this far, and they were well beaten by a good Pratlow team that time. And as we've discussed this before, the guys felt that they didn't put enough preparation in, and they didn't treat this with enough respect, for the want of a better word. But we had a different approach this time. We said we'd really give it a shot, and it was a measured. I mean, we didn't win anything yet. We just won a Munster semi-final. We have nothing won at this level yet. So it was a measured. It's great to be in a final, but a measured response from the lads. I think they were glad of the victory, and we'll celebrate the victory tonight. But to be back to brass tacks again and basics on Tuesday night, you know.
That's it. Yeah, unfinished business, and good to see it continues with victory today. Ger, thanks very much for your reaction, and we'll talk again before the final.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
That's just line there of Valley Rovers after they reached the Munster Intermediate Club Championship final earlier on today. A good win for them over in the Pearshing of Limerick, 111-118. As the latest scores in the Euro qualifiers, still scores between Belgium and Wales. This would be a cracking result for the Welsh if they could hang on here. They would see them still top of the table. They are on 8 points at the moment if the result stands like this. So that would be a cracking result if they could keep it that way. Cyprus, meanwhile, 4-0 up in Andorra in that the group's other game. In Group A, Holland 3-0 up on Latvia. Robin van Persie, Arjen Robben and Klaas Jan Huntelaar with the goals there. Czech Republic and Iceland, Turkey and Kazakhstan are at 7:45. And in Group H, Norway a goal up away to Azerbaijan. Bulgaria, Malta, Italy and Croatia, the other ties there, they're both at 7:45. Now Mourne Abbey ladies continuing their stunning run with an All-Ireland final to look forward to. They defeated Mount Melnock Sarsfields in their semi-final today. Lisa's gotten the reaction of Mourne Abbey coach Shane Roynan.
Super day. Real tough game against a very, very strong Sarsfield team, and we're just delighted to have come out the right end of a serious battle.
It was very, very tight the whole way along, and only a point up at half time. Talk us through your view of the game from the sideline.
Well, the first half seemed to be very open. Both attacks were on top. You know, we were a bit worried about that at half time, that we had to tighten up. It was a super game of football in the first half, I suppose, for the spectators. 10 points to 9, probably not great viewing for ourselves. We were a bit open. We'd conceded only 10 or 11 points in the last few games, so we were a bit disappointed to have conceded 9 in the first half. So we just tried to tighten up at half time, and I say that's because against sustained attacks there in the last 10 minutes, we held out. Like, they only conceded 6 points in the second half. So we were very happy with, like, you know, it was a tough game. It became more of a battle in the second half. It was a, you know, it was open stuff in the first half, but in the second half it became a bit of a battle with a couple of same innings, and you know, things tightened up, and there was a couple of decisions going this way and that way against Dustin Forest, and you know, it just became a real battle. They'd got a goal at Simbins. We missed the resulting penalty, and they missed the resulting penalty. So we were both down to 14, and we both missed our penalties. And then, you know, we put our wing forward, Roberta Harrington, into goals, and she did fine in fairness to her. And then, so it was kind of a battle then for, well, we were down to the 14 when they had their player back before ours, and we just had to kind of shut it down. We actually got a great goal during that period of time, Brio Sullivan, which gave us a bit of breathing space, put us 4 points up. So when Maeve came back on, we were, you know, we were in the lead, we were in a good position. But they chipped away, they got 2 points, and it looked like they might snatch a late winner with a goal, but our defence held strong.
Good. And you mentioned a couple of moments ago about being disappointed with the concession of 9 points, at least in the first half anyway, and tightening things up in the second half. Have you felt your game changing much now, you know, as you progress?
Not really. We've just, you know, today was a very, very open game, you know, in the first half, and I think it was not kind of what we've been used to maybe, you know. And I think their forwards were excellent today. Like, they're probably some of the best forwards we came up against all year, and you know, as a unit, and they had very, very good in the middle field. Tracy Lawler, you know, she's a 3 or 4 time All-Star, and she was doing a lot of work, and just we felt we were a little bit sloppy, and maybe, you know, maybe a small little bit complacent at times when we should have been winning balls. We lost them, but I think we sorted out at half time, and defensive display in the second half was outstanding, really, against sustained pressure. Like, you know, they were on top the last 10 minutes, but they only got 1 point in the last 10 minutes, so we were very happy with that.
And as the success, you know, rolls on now into an All-Ireland final, I mean, was the reaction at the full time whistle must have been massive, was it?
Yeah, it was fierce excitement, but it was kind of fierce relief as well, because we felt we were the better team during the game, but, you know, to have only a 2-point lead is a very dangerous lead, so there was a lot of relief there at the final whistle as well. And I suppose there was a bit of pressure on today, that we had a home venue, you know.
Yeah.
And there was such a huge crowd there from Moran Abbey, and, you know, we wanted to perform in front of them, and so we were, there was great excitement, but mixed with a lot of relief as well.
And it's another quick turnaround now, Shane, because you've the final in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, we're just out of the swimming pool there now. We did a bit of a recovery session. We're going for bite to eat, and then it's home for them. And we're 2 weeks' time. We've the Ireland final against Tom from Donegal, who are going to be a serious outfit. They've beaten two very, very good teams in the last 2 games. Dunamine, who were the champions in 2012, and they beat the Galway team, who beat this year's All Ireland, or the last year's All Ireland champions, in the Connacht final. So it's going to be a very, very tough game, and, you know, just hopefully, like, it's very hard with the 2 weeks turnaround, you know, if there's any niggles or things like that, you don't get a lot of time to clear it up, and you don't get a lot of time to work with the girls then either. So, so it's about just managing what we do for the next 2 weeks, and making sure we're fresh, like, you know, because it's been a long season. A lot of the girls have been going, you know, since January, and it's tough going at this time of the year.
And why does it run off in the calendar year, Shane, compared to the Camogie and to all the men's competitions?
I don't know what the reasoning behind it. I suppose, look, the proposal at men's at the moment is that they're going to run it off in the calendar year as well. And look, in some ways it's a good thing. You know, people can go in, they can enjoy Christmas, and they're not coming back after Christmas into training again straight away. But on the other hand, then it's a bit rushed. But look, we've dealt with it so far. We knew this was ahead of us if we've won today, so we're quite happy. Like, there's a lot of momentum there as well. Like, I presume Thurman feel the same, you know. There's no big long wait for the final, like, you know. And if it was a month's time or after Christmas, you know, maybe the appetite wouldn't be there. It's very hard to get people, you know, to commit again. Like, you know, I'm sure, like, Milford are probably taking a few weeks off, and I presume, you know, the men's would do the same if they were in, you know. So it's just about, you know, it's your, you know, it's catch 3-2 situation. It's good in some ways, it's bad in other ways, but we're quite happy. It's going okay for us at the moment, and just hopefully we can get through the next 2 weeks and make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah, let's a good times roll. But in the immediate aftermath now, having done the recovery session, have you any new injuries?
No, just look, a couple of niggles, a couple of knocks today, you know. Yeah. It was a tough physical game. And you know, Sarsfield, we knew they'd do that. We knew what they'd bring to the table. They knew what we'd bring. What we'd bring to the table. There was plenty hard hits out there, you know, but hard, fair hits. Like, but you know, they're a bit sore now this evening, and they're tired. Like, but look, they're glad. They're tired. They're sore, but they're in our Ireland final, and that's the main thing.
A big occasion to look forward to, and Shane, we'll talk to you around that as well. And congratulations for now on your semi-final victory. Anyway,
thanks very much, Lisa.
Incredible stuff there from Moran Abbey. That's their coach, Shane Roy Nan. It is interesting that they have to do the whole competition in the calendar year.
It's different, yeah, compared to, as I said, all the other championships.
As Shane was saying, there's pros and cons to it.
Yeah, you just fear with injuries and things like that. I mean, they lost their goalkeeper a number of weeks back, and you know, they've had to cover that injury loss, and that's one side of it. Then the others, as Shane said, the momentum, like, they're on a roll and they're enjoying it after getting their first county success. It's kind of, you know, they seem really focused, so yeah. Hopefully 2 weeks time now they'll get another bit done.
Yeah, fingers crossed, and best of luck to Moran Abbey. Right, just to get you up to date, still scores between Wales and Belgium, 74 minutes gone on the clock there. Still to come on the show, we're going to reflect on Ireland's big win over Georgia. We are going to talk to Milford to reflect on their incredible year, and plenty more besides. You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
with Kiri's Hyundai. Believe everything you hear. Kiri's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kiri's.ie.
Hi, Rory and Lisa here with you until 7 tonight. Cracking competition kicking off tomorrow. Finders, keepers, we've teamed up with Kiri's Motorworld to give one lucky listener in Cork the chance to win a brand new Nissan Juke. Tomorrow morning, tune into the KC show at 7:30 for the code you need to enter. Now, a bit of a hint as well for tomorrow. The car will be located at Black Ash Park and Ride from 8 a.m. on Monday morning for 1 hour only. Now, you have to listen for the code, find the car, and you're in the draw for the grand final. It is that easy to win your brand new Nissan Juke with Kiri's Motor World, the new name for Nissan in Cork. Finders, keepers, redfm.ie. For more details, going to turn our attentions to rugby. A comfortable win for the Ireland, I suppose, B team is the right way to call it, second string B team.
Yeah, and no disrespect to the players selected. Some of them might be in contention at some stage for the first 15, but at the moment, no, it's kind of players that are there a long time or loads of debutants.
The Ireland fringe players, we call them. So David Brady was watching them.
Ireland 49 points, Georgia 7. Certainly not the fireworks of last week, but a comfortable win for the home side all the same. It was just 9-0 at half time thanks to 3 Ian Madigan penalties, but tries by front row pair Dave Kilcoyne and Rickard Strauss early on the restart made the game safe. Nemzadze did manage a try for the visitors, but the floodgates opened in the final quarter as Simon Zeebo, Felix Jones with 2 and replacement Stuart Olding all touched down. Madigan landed 8 kicks out of 10 in total, contributing 19 points in a fine display of place kicking. Next up, it's Australia in Dublin next weekend at the Aviva Stadium. It finished Ireland 49 points, Georgia 7.
Now, admittedly, I only had half nine this because I was half watching this and I was half watching Ballincollig at the same time. First half wasn't great. Second half, as expected, Ireland kind of just pushed on a little bit. But it gives Joe Schmidt an awful lot to think about ahead of next week, and I suppose that's what you want.
Yeah, loads of game time for different players. There's a couple of different things that are very positive out of it. Obviously, Dave Foley, from a Munster point of view, made his debut today. Put in a man of the match performance. That's brilliant.
Come on, Dave.
Felix Jones is a player that I've always been a big fan of, because I've always wondered if he hadn't been hampered by injury so much over the last couple of years, where would he be in the Ireland pecking order? So I was really glad to see him do so well today. Then you have players like Stuart Olding coming on and securing his first international try and the smile on his face crossing the line. You know? And the big one is that we're now up to third in the IRB rankings after today's result, because coupled with defeat for Australia and England yesterday, we're back up to third. No. So that's a good...
Happy days. Yeah. Not going to get too carried away with that, though.
No.
All right, speaking of man of the match, Dave Foley speaking to Sky's Rachel Wise after the win.
A special day for you today. What did it feel like to walk out onto the pitch? It was absolutely incredible. I suppose I've been dreaming about this since I was a young kid. I didn't ever know would I get the opportunity, but you know, I certainly won't be getting carried away with myself, and the team won't be getting carried away with themselves. We have a massive task next week against Australia.
How difficult did you find it out there today against this Georgian side?
Yeah, I think we knew by looking at them last week, they really put it up the tongue, and we knew there'd be a massive physical threat. You know, difficult game. Maybe the scoreboard wasn't realistic at times, but you know, we're absolutely delighted with the win.
What was the halftime message from Joe Schmidt?
I think it was just the whole ball. That was the main thing. At key times inside in their 22, we just either knocked it on or the ball just spilled on the ground. So the main thing was just to go through phases and just hold ball.
Yeah, and just finally, heading into the game next week, there were a couple of changes, 13 in total this week. How much confidence is there within the squad now?
Yeah, there's massive confidence there. I think, you know, the provinces are going very well, and, you know, Joe is trying to build for the World Cup and try to get some depth into the squad. And, you know, I think by the looks of things today, he has a bit of depth there, and fellas are hungry to play.
Yeah, well, congratulations on your own performance.
Thank you very much.
That's Dave speaking to Sky there after the game, and it is all about that game now next Sunday, which is going to be terribly exciting. Confidence massively high after that win over South Africa. No reason why Ireland can't go and beat Australia.
No, it's another massive learning curve, because we're not even going to focus on the Six Nations next year. It's all about the World Cup. And imagine taking a scalp against Australia at home at the end of this series, 3 wins from 3, on top of Six Nations success this year. It'd be massive, but we have to see progress, I suppose, next weekend after the South Africa win. Players getting more game time today. It'll be interesting to see what Joe Schmidt will select next week. Has today been any sort of an impact on that? Even?
I'd imagine it'd be pretty close to the team that played last week. Yeah. Maybe one or two changes, but
Felix might get a shot a little bit earlier if Rob's not doing the business, because you know the way he's not, you know, he's up and down with his form, Rob Kearney.
Right, 49-7 was the final score today at the Aviva Stadium. Right, we're going to move to Camogie and Milford celebrating a county and Munster championship 3 in a row. What an achievement after last week's provincial success against Limerick rivals Grana Ballingarry. A couple of their players join us in studio to talk about their successful season so far. I mean, leave it to the girls themselves to do the introductions.
Rebecca Finn, goalkeeper.
Sarah Sexton, halfback.
Lisa Healy, cornerback.
First off, Rebecca, I might start with yourself. How's the last week been? I mean, like, I'd imagine it's kind of been a release considering all the hard training matches you've done all summer, just to finally be done for the year, so to speak.
I suppose it was kind of the end of September that we really got going. We had our first round in July, and we had a big long wait until the Cork Camogie girls were finished. So we had a big wait, and then all the matches came at once. They came every week in the Cork Championship, and then we had the Munster semi-final the following week, and then we had a week off to the Munster champion or the Munster final. And we're just delighted to come out as champions of that. And it was a local derby as well, so it added to the atmosphere around. And it was a brilliant win, and we're celebrating still.
Have you recovered from the hangover yet? Actually,
not really. We'd 3 nights here in a row, so it's been brilliant, and we'll enjoy it while we can.
As well.
Yeah, exactly.
Sarah, tell me, I mean, with the being All-Ireland champions, back defending the county title first and then the Munster title, was there very, very kind of, were you all talking about doing that, or did you just take it as it came, the whole championship?
No, definitely there was no mention of 3 in a row. I mean, like, you know, we had a job to do. We set out when Frankie came back in June, and that was it. It was like no mention of 3 in a row. It's something, you know, as in take every step as it comes, and we don't look at it as championship games or finals, or it's just pure steps, and that's just it. It's just taking every step at a time, and luckily, thank God, we got to the step where we wanted to be, and now we're progressing on, and that's what we wanted.
And considering you'd won the last two, I mean, like, is there pressure on you, supposed to go out and win it again, because you've won the last two and everyone's kind of saying, right, you're going to do it again?
No, I think there's actually a pressure in the fact that, you know, like, we're there to be knocked. I mean, we're champions, and we're there to be taken off the pedestal, and like, that's what everyone wants to do now. So like, we were expecting that. So as in, that's just it. There's nothing. You don't go out as champions. You go out to play a game and hopefully come out with a win.
Lisa, yourself, what did you make of it all? Because speaking to Frank after the Munster Championship success last week, he thought it was the sweetest anyway. Did you feel like that?
Yeah, I suppose we went to school with a lot of the girls
from Granada, so we both went, a lot of us went to St. Mary's together, and they beat us in 2004. We beat them last year, so it was kind of 1-1, and we knew that going into the match, you know, whoever came out, it was going to be a sweet victory. And I suppose it was a local crowd, there was a massive, it was a local venue, massive crowd, and it was very sweet to win in front of a local crowd.
What kind of game was it, Rebecca? Like, I imagine you being the keeper, you kind of see everything in front of you anyway.
Yeah. it was like last year, when we met him, the weather was brutal last year, and I don't think it reflected on both teams that year, because the wind and rain was pretty bad. So it was, this year it was actually nice to play and show our skill in the game. It was a tense game, and I think everyone was kind of nervous going into it, because we knew that everyone, like, as the girl said there, like, that it was, they had beat us in 2004, and we just wanted to prove that we knew we were good enough. And we got off to a great start, and we kept picking our points away, and we eventually got over the line in the end.
Sarah, I know you mentioned that you've a couple of your teammates have a birthday celebration tonight, and
we go again.
Yeah. But are you a very tight bunch? Are you very good friends above being teammates?
Yeah, definitely. I think we all went to school together. That's the one thing. You know, we're aging maybe from 30 down to 2018 maybe. But you know, as in, when you're together for that long, and we do everything together, we train 3 nights a week, you know, so you're probably with them more so than you're with anyone else. So of course you have to have, there is apart from being teammates, there is a deadly friendship there, and it's unreal. And after this, when it's all over, it'll be, you know, there'll still be friendships there, which is good.
Yeah, Lisa, can I ask you, Milford Camogie, at this stage now, you're known around the country for your quality. Do you think it's a particular part of this team that has been developed, be it maybe the skills, or is it a fact that a very talented bunch of girls have come together at the same time?
I suppose we always were there or thereabouts, and, you know, we lost 3 county finals, so there always was potential. But then when Frankie came 3 years ago, you know, he changed things about. He was an outside person, and, you know, he had no connections with us. He brought a professionalism, I suppose, that we had never dealt with before. He brought things like training ourselves, training collectively. There was team bonding. So, yeah, he brought an awful lot to it. So I suppose with management, we have to be very grateful for what they've done for us.
Rebecca, talk to me about your path to the Cork County Championship final.
Our first round was in July, and we met Douglas in the first round. We were very up for that game, because we know Douglas are a great side, and we knew that we had to bring our best to the game. So then we had a break for such a long time, and we were playing the same opposition in the second round, which was probably hard to motivate yourself and the team, right, to kind of step up again to meet the same opposition. And Douglas ran us close that day. Again, the conditions were poor, but we just came good in the end, and I suppose experience over the last couple of years brought us through that day. And then we met St. Catherine's the following week. And I think we were back into Championship Camogie again, and it's grand playing challenge matches all the time, yeah, but you have to step up for Championship, and it was great to get back into competitive Camogie. And I think we played very well against St. Catherine's, and again we got into the county final and met in Ascara. And we upped our game again, and we knew in Ascara we're a very good side. We had met them for the last couple of years as well, and we knew we had to start well and bring a good game, and we did, and thank God we got over the line as well.
Sarah, your success over the last couple of years means, you know, you're obviously well able to go on your own, but do you think the county success had an impact on you this year, either positive or negative?
Oh, definitely. I think, as Rebecca said there, we got our scare against Douglas in the second round, and that was it. We went back, we regrouped after that game, and we said never again will we put ourselves in a position to come that close, maybe to throwing it all away, and that was what we did. I mean, we trained hard the Wednesday night before, we went out and played St. Catharines again. And I mean, we knew what had happened, like when we wanted to up our game for ourselves, not just for, like, and for everyone as well. Just, you know, we had a point to prove, like Douglas had pushed us close, and that was if we wanted to go out and prove that, you know, like that we can take experience and drive on, and that's what we did.
Lisa, because you've been so successful over the last couple of years, do you still get nervous going into like county finals, Munster Championship games and stuff like that?
Yeah, you're talking to the right person here. Yeah, there is nerves, and there has been nerves. If there's not nerves, I don't think you're right for the game. If you're looking ahead and you're not nervous, yeah, then there's something wrong. So there's always going to be nerves, and we're a determined bunch. We want to do well, we want to keep going while we are going, you know. It's hard to keep going, but yeah, there's always going to be nerves.
So the next step is going to be Mullia in the All-Ireland semi-final. I know it's an awful long way away, but would you, you know them, but you've played them a few times, I think, in challenge matches, haven't you, Rebecca?
Yeah, we played them I think during the summer we played them down in UL. They were brilliant. Like, we've played them the last couple of years, and we know that like they had a very good win in the county final against Ardrahan, who we only beat by a point in the All-Ireland. So we just know that they're a very good side. And it seems like such a long time away, February, but actually we've got our schedules already.
Really?
We've got our schedules already, and to be honest, like, it'll come around so fast. So we're going to enjoy this break now while it lasts, and then we'll be back in December and work hard.
No rest for the wicked or the champions, as the case may be.
No.
Look, ladies, thanks so much for coming in to us, and we will talk again before the All-Ireland semi-final, but for now, congratulations on your county and Munster success.
Brilliant. Thanks
very much.
That's the county and Munster champions, Milford, 3 in a row. That is unheard of.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah. No. It takes a good team and a very, very strong, consistently strong team to achieve such a feat. And I've no doubt that they're going to go on and represent Cork and Munster very well in that All-Ireland semi-final. I think they'll go the whole way, to be honest.
Yeah, fair play to them, and an absolutely incredible achievement for them. All those interviews as well available on our website, redfm.ie/sport. Now, James Buckley is the latest winner of the North City and District Sports Award, sponsored by the Gresham Metropole Hotel in association with award sponsors Grow on the Broher Credit Union and media partners Cork's Red FM. James captured the King of the Road bowling title after a 19-year wait. He's given his reaction to Lisa first explaining his campaign to the title.
Yeah, I had to win a series of scores in the Mixed Valley Cup. I won 3 scores in that, and that got me to the semi-final, and I played 2 scores in the semi-final. Only semi-final, I won the final.
Very good. And I understand, like, you'd been away for many years in terms of the Roll of Honour, and a resurgence in form for you.
Yeah. It's 19 years since I won it. 19 long years.
And what do you credit with making the comeback in terms of getting back to the top?
Just doing a bit of walking, a bit of practicing.
I imagine it meant an awful lot to you then to win it again this year.
It did, yeah. I started up bowling there and in Glenair bowling all there 12 months ago, and it brought me back into the game. We won the road there in Glenair, and it brought me back into the game more, and did a bit more exercise, a bit more running after and stuff, and got me a bit fitter.
Brilliant. And you hold 6 All-Ireland titles, James. At this stage, was this one of the most special ones because it had been so long?
Yes, it has, yeah. So long waiting for another one. It has, certainly has, yeah.
You're at the 30th anniversary of the staging of the King of the Road event too. So, you know, as somebody who's been involved for so long, where do you think it's come, the sport?
It's come on a good bit, yeah. There's a lot of kids or new players coming into it as well, and it's thriving in West Cork, but Seamus told me he's keeping it going there in East Cork the best he can, but it's going fine.
Finally, James, having won this award, the North City and District Sports Award at the Gresham Metropole this week in association with Gurna Broer Credit Union, what did it mean to you?
It meant an awful lot. It's an awful lot, and you're delighted to get it. Absolutely thrilled to be honest in the city, the North City of the city.
That's James Buckley there, the latest winner of the North City and District Sports Award, sponsored by the Gresham Metropole Hotel in association with award sponsors Grow on the Broer Credit Union and media partners Red FM. Now, finally, to football. And Belgium and Wales is just about to wrap up. Still scoreless there. They're into minute 6 of time added on. Now, a blog post entitled "The Off Season Doesn't Exist," written by a former chairman of Cork City and CEO of Athlone Town and Limerick FC, has gotten a massive reaction online this week. Its author is John O'Sullivan. Sullivan, and he's spoken to Lisa about the contents that hit quite a few topical talking points.
I suppose I've been helping out a couple of clubs over the off-season on projects, and that and speaking to friends I have within the game, one thing that kept on popping up, I suppose, was that the idea that fans have that it's a quiet time of the year, that you know it's a time that staff could relax. So that's really the something that prompted it, just to put something small, a bit of information out there on what kind of are the challenges that keep you awake over the off-season.
And this is it raises quite a few talking points. Some may be aware of it, but I think for most it's a very honest insight into that's exactly it, the challenges that League of Ireland clubs face.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty varied in the off-season. Obviously the senior team and everything that surrounds that are off over the Christmas period, but with that the income that the senior team and the home games brings in is gone as well, and you still have an under 19 team to field. Some clubs have others, and there's costs associated with that, and then like getting set for the new season in terms of, you know, supporters, season tickets, signing new players, getting licensing sorted out for the FAI. All these things actually do take up a huge amount of time, and some clubs do that off a completely voluntary basis as well, sort of thing.
It's the financial pressure. Is it fair to say that it's the financial pressure in the off season, because it's the time where you have to put everything in place, and it's the time where there's least focus on the club of the whole year?
It is, yeah. I mean, you still have fixed costs. I mean, most clubs now have an office, or for example, Cork City have Bishopstown. I mean, there's still ESB, there's still heating bills to pay, there's still all the other utilities that you have to manage over the off season and over the Christmas period, without having the income that you get associated with home games. Now, obviously, you know, the run up to Christmas usually means you can get some merchandise out there, and season tickets are a positive as well in that time. But it really the loss of home games takes the attention off the club as well a little bit. So you know, it's harder to keep things going. But again, there's good stories for the off season as well. It's not all negative.
Yeah, but one of the lines that did grab my attention was the first two season tickets. The first two tickets that are sold for the season ahead will be used on the ESB bill that's already overdue. I mean, it's just one area.
Yeah, that's actually, again, I suppose one thing from the blog when I put it up is it's not all Cork City or Limerick or Athlone stories. It's a lot of stuff that I've gotten from other clubs. And that actually happened, the First Division club. I think every club, when they're selling their season tickets for the coming season, what they want to do is to try and ring fence that money for the coming year. But you know, you often end up, if you have a bad run towards the end of the season in particular, you know that there can be bills that are left over. So often the money that you're planning for next year, you're already spending on paying off the previous year, and that's one of the challenges when you're going week to week, especially in the First Division, where you know it's that little bit tougher, and you don't get the same crowds and you don't get the same interest.
That's John O'Sullivan there, former Cork City Chairman and CEO of Athlone Town in Limerick, speaking about his blog post, which we'll put a link up to on our Twitter page. It's really, really interesting stuff about, it's called The Off-Season Doesn't Exist, and I suppose it's kind of like football fans go watch their team the end of the 90 minutes at the end of October. They don't really care what happens until the start of March, so there is a 5-month gap where clubs are struggling to keep it together.
There's a lot going on in the background, and we talk at length about that. That's actually up on the website now, so the extended version there if anyone does want to check it out and read the blog post. You know, there's an awful lot going on, and it happens in every club, and it's probably not even just, it isn't just League of Ireland. In the off-season, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of challenges, and I think John struck a lot of talking points, and I think he said the other day he got 4,000 hits on it. Wow. At one stage during the week, because so many people identified with all the things in it. So it's good, it's very interesting, and raised a lot of interesting points.
Yeah, redfm.ie/sport for the extended edition of that interview. That is it from us. We're back next Saturday from 6 p.m. and all week across the day on Cork's Red FM. redfm.ie/sport at Big Red Bench is our Twitter page. Ashley Keating is up next with Green on Red. Enjoy your evening, folks, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.
With Kerry's Hyundai, believe everything you hear. Kerry's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kerry's.ie.
Red FM.